You know, I'm going to transition and preach a little bit. Some of you thought I was already doing that. but I'm going to pray first. Lord, prayers late, prayers ahead of time, they're all the same to you. I ask you to anoint our message today. And we ask you, Lord, to come and release jars of oil from heaven that would heal hearts and minds and bodies in Jesus' name. People, when I get on furlough, man, they love to tell me how bad it's getting. You know, like, brother, you've been gone since, you missed all of 2020. You were in Kenya. Let me tell you about 2020, you know. But let me tell you something. When I was a little boy, my dad used to let me go. He'd say, now I'm going to see some of my friends at the coffee shop. And you can stay at the table until the table gets full, and then you're going to need to sit at the table next to us. And you're going to need to be quiet. But if you'll do that, you can come. So I would come with them, and I always ended up at the table. There'd be five or six guys shaking their heads. Boy, it's getting bad.
Oh, no.
Oh my goodness, this is back in... LBJ's just ruining everything, you know. And now they killed Kennedy. It's a government that killed him. Oh, it's them commies, you know. And just everything getting so bad. Well, let me tell you, it's been getting bad supposedly. I'm 61 years old. I'm right behind you. If it was getting bad even for a few years, it'd be really bad by now. And you know what? I've been around the world. It's really good here. And most people aren't even affected by some of the things they're complaining about. I feel for people that lost their job, but people that haven't lost their job are complaining like they lost their job. So the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. That's a verse if you have that. I think I gave it to you. I like it when people can see it. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It grows brighter and brighter until the full day. So I'm going to just tell you how the Lord speaks to me. I'm not saying this to you, but this is how he speaks to me. Pat, if your path is not getting brighter, maybe you're on the wrong path. Okay, I'll just let that one lay there. You know, we love to sing about bringing light into the darkness, and that was a prophetic word this morning, that we are the light of the world. We are the only light some people are ever going to see. We're the only voice some people are ever going to hear from heaven. God's plan in the beginning was what? Fill the earth with my image. People acting like God. That's how we fill the earth with his image. And some people won't give him the time of day. They'll give us the time of day. Are we going to give them our story or his story? And so we want to bring light into dark places. We want to speak light into people that are living in dark places and thinking dark thoughts. So Christianity is not just our identity. It's our superpower.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Think of that. Think of all these. Have you guys noticed the last few years? Man, all the good movies are superhero movies.
That's right.
All the big blockbusters, the ones making the most money. And you know what? They all have a common theme. Here's a normal average guy, right? Like John or like me, just average guy, you know. And then there's this thing, this enemy that's just beating them to death. They can't get a break. And then they discover there's something latent inside of them. What is this? This superpower. And they learn to cultivate and develop that superpower, and they go back to that same enemy. And now they have some success because they discover it first, then they develop it, and then when they see what they can do, they start thinking purpose. I have this power for a purpose. I need to discover what that is now so that I don't waste it. A purpose and a calling that was hidden inside of them all that time. Yeah? That's you. That's me. And then we go and face the same thing we faced before with a newfound strength. And we become like Daniel, who said, there will be a day when people will know their God and do mighty acts. our mighty exploits. So we're called to shine. 2020 is like a great opportunity because in 2019, everything was so good. Yeah, Trump's doing it all and the economy's going and everything is so wonderful. We don't need the light. Yeah. Everything's bright.
Right.
You come in with your light and people don't notice it. If we go out in the parking lot and I turn the, I get a little light out, you're not even going to see it because the sun's shining, right? If I come in here, you still won't see it because it's, there's still a lot of light in here. But if I shut out, if it's nighttime and we turn out all the lights, I can just, I don't even have to light the match. If I just strike and it doesn't even light, but all the sparks, everybody in this room is going to know it. Because it's going to reflect, even if your back is turned, you're going to see something flash up on the wall. You're like, what's that? So that's the advantage, like 2020. And by the way, it's not going away. So I'm not saying it's totally gone, but we don't want to waste those opportunities because 2020 is what we're looking for. It's what we're waiting for. So our light will shine. Is it Isaiah around 60 something or whatever? Where is it, John? Arise, shine, for your light has come, has risen upon you. Darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness, the peoples. But the glory of the Lord will appear upon you. He's not coming. When he comes in the sky, it's over. But when he but for now, he's coming through us. So he said he was the light of the world. Then he said, you are the light of the world, which is us. So we're called to do mighty exploits, and sometimes we think we can do those from our computer screen on Facebook, right? Look what I'm going to accomplish. I'm going to straighten that guy out. And we got to be careful because although we have superpowers, I don't think the gift of the power of argument is a superpower. I know that I've never been won over by somebody doing that to me. So what makes me think I can say the right, oh, and I spent 25 minutes. Man, this paragraph is going to get them. We hit send, and we feel good about ourselves, and it's just placebo. It's like taking a sugar pill. It's a waste of time while our superpowers are actually unlimited. Like you, I've told you guys before, I'm never going to die. Because I've already died with Christ, and my life is now hidden with him. I was crucified with Christ. That's either true or it's not. And people try to say, oh, the scholars will go, well, it's yes, but not yet. It's really, but not yet. And all that. No, it's true, and it's real, and it's now. I'm just going to walk through a door one day, and when I do, it won't be a day of my timing. It'll be a day of his timing. This body's going to fall to the ground, and you're going to have to deal with it. I'm sorry for that. I would clean it up if I could, but I'll be gone. I'll have stepped through a door, and I won't want to come back. And don't you dare feel sorry for me, and don't you dare think of me as dead. So we need to not think of anybody like that's been with the Lord as dead, because they're more alive now than they ever were. And they'll go, oh, I'm home. I've always been here. I've always been here. I was seated here with Christ in heavenly places the day I got saved, and I knew it, but I didn't see it so clearly, and now I see it clearly. I didn't go anywhere. I'm just more aware of where I've always been, because the Spirit is not something that's distant that we go to. I don't think. I think it's right here. Yeah. But we need to be careful about our superpowers and know what they are, because, you know, like nobody likes an arrogant, cocky athlete, right? You get a guy that starts strutting after making a touchdown, and all you can think of is, I just loved you so much a minute ago, and now I'm embarrassed by you because you are just, you know? And so we don't want to be that way as Christians. Our real superpower, I think the greatest thing that we have, is that we can bring Christ. Anywhere we go, we can bring Christ into any situation. What could be more powerful than that? But only if we're moving in his Spirit. But think about it. We can bring him into any situation. And I hope you don't feel like I'm fussing at you. Because I didn't come here to tell you what to do. or correct you. I came here just to tell you who you are. Amen. This is who we are. And when Christ appears, the Bible says, who is our life? Colossians 3, man, that's a great chapter. He is way more than a superhero. He's our Savior, but he's also way more than a Savior. Sometimes we only think of him as our Savior, and we don't get very far beyond the sinner's prayer, and we just are holding on till the end. That's like a superhero, like Superman. He's so much more. Superman swoops in, right, John? Right. Saves the day, and then what does he do? He leaves. Because he can't dwell that close with the human race, because if he does, somehow the enemy will gain an advantage and figure out that's his friend. Now I'm going to kill him. It's a distorted message. It's really good up until the swooping away afterwards. And I think that storyline is designed by the enemy to get us to not cultivate a relationship with the Lord. Because we have this archetype in our mind that's part of it's part of how we think, even when we're not thinking about it. And so we think of, oh, we've been saved, and we're familiar with him in a way that we've not cultivated the relationship to be that familiar. We've just taken it on. It's presumption. It'd be like going up to a president or a head of state and not behaving the way everybody else is around them, but going, yo, dude, bro, right. You know, right. you're going to get escorted away pretty quick right. When you do that, or just seen as really, really immature. Right. I don't want the Lord to see me as really, really immature. I want to grow up in the Lord so he can trust me with stuff. Otherwise, I'm just, babies are nice, but we're supposed to grow up so he can trust us with stuff. And God wants to trust us with his image. And we got to get to know him before we can do that. Superman lives in a fortress of solitude. Nobody knows where it is. Nobody can get to it. And nobody really sees anything or knows anything about him. And the Lord is like, no, I want you to be just like me. I created you to be just like me. Did you guys hear what I just said? The Lord wants us to be just like him. Every time I say that, actually, it's not every time I say that, but it should be, amen, that it would grip me. Like, are you kidding me? Why? You ever wonder? Like, why would he care so much about me that he says, the Father looks at me and says, Pat Selvey, I want you to be just like Jesus. I'm here to help you do that. Amen. I'm going to keep working with you. And if you run off, I'll just wait. And as soon as you come back, we'll pick up where I left off. And if I have to take eternity, I'll do it after you pass through that door. But you're going to be like Jesus, because that's what Jesus asked for. I'm his inheritance. He says, I'm the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Amen. Yeah. So it's possible to have this superhero stuff going on in your life even and have ministry that's powerful and recognized, where you could even stand and argue with the Lord and say, hey, I prayed for the sick and they've been healed. I've cast out demons. I preached. And the Lord say, I don't know you. And I remind myself of that. I'm not fussing at you. I'm saying this is who we are. We're people who could potentially move in the power of ministry without knowing the Lord. So what is knowing the Lord is what salvation actually is. If somebody can define salvation perfectly, it's going to be God, right? And Jesus, in his very last prayer, right before he gets arrested, he's got his disciples. He knows. John's writing this down. John is going to put this in the Bible. I'm going to make sure he remembers it. God didn't do anything, you know, like, oh, I'm glad they did that. I didn't think of that. It's all planned out. So Jesus is praying to the Father in front of them, knowing this will be eternally scripture. And he says, Father, this is eternal life. Ready for it? That they may know you, and your Christ whom you sent. So eternal life is relationship. We thought it was faith, but Jesus said it's relationship. Even the demons believe and tremble. So we can believe and we can even agree. We know who you are, Son of God, Son of David. Are you here to torment us ahead of time? We're even acknowledging who you are. So just acknowledging something doesn't make it real. But think about what, I'm not trying to shame you or tell you, what I'm trying to say is God, the conditions for salvation is what God's going to want the most out of us, because he's like, this is where you get the most from me. The biggest thing we can ever get from God is salvation. So the biggest thing is what God is after the most. And what is he after the most? I don't know why, but it's relationship with us. And when you ask why, there's only one answer. He's good. He's a good, 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 good God. And this is eternal life, that you may know, that they may know you, the only eternal God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Yeah. So God's telling us, I would rather die than be in heaven without you. And I'm going to prove it. Whew. The Father and the Son are one. When the Son died, the Father died. I don't know how that works exactly. I don't know how the Trinity works. But it wasn't that the Son died so the Father would forgive us. They both were in agreement with the Holy Spirit. These people are more precious to us than the life of the Son of God. That's powerful. And then to follow that up in eternity, Jesus said, and it's another verse in Revelation 3:21, if you could put that up, for those who overcome, I will grant to sit with me on my throne just as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. Jesus came to show us how to live. He didn't come just to show us how God lives. He came to show us how we could live because he came as a man. It was so much a man, like he could have just appeared as a full grown, but he didn't. He said, I'm going to show you, I'm going to start inside of a woman and I'll be there 9 months. And when I come out, if you just walk away from me for a while, I'll die on my own. I can't do anything. And he came through all of that to show us I'm a man. And he said hundreds of times, over 100 times, I'm Son of Man. Called himself Son of God once, just so our doctrine would be sound. But he's really calling attention to, I'm a man, this is how men should live. Right. And so he offers us the same deal that the Father offered him. Wow! That's right. He's good. If you'll overcome, I'll grant you to sit next to me on my throne. By the way, that's how I got next to my Father's throne. Right. I overcame just as I overcame and sat next to him. Isn't that good? I'm going to do two more verses. John 14:21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, here it is. He's the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. I speak that verse back to God. I swear it's at least every day. Sometimes 4 or 5 times a day. I just love saying that back to him. It's one of the most precious things he's ever said to me. Because he's letting me know, listen to my commandments. Don't be afraid of the Sermon on the Mount and run to Paul where the bar's a little lower. And you can get lost in Romans 7 where Paul said, I try to do the good thing and sometimes I don't do. Jesus is like, no, get into my words and go there, because the one who does that is the one who loves me. And the thing I want most in my life, more than anything else, is to be a lover of God. Amen. I want that more than anything. The great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So there it is. That's the key. And then he goes, the one who loves me, go back to it, the one who loves me, my Father will love them. Right. He's watching. You focus on me, you go after me, you try to obey my commands, my Father will love you. And then what's the second thing I want the most? Probably the same thing you guys. I want to see the Lord. I want the Lord revealed. I want to be caught up. I want to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ and all of that stuff. And there's the promise. I will love him and I will, some translations say, reveal myself to him, manifest myself to him. Okay, now go to verse 23. Okay, in between these two verses, Judas, not Iscariot, said, how is it, Lord, that you're going to show yourself to us and not everybody else? Bless his heart. I would have asked a dumber question probably, but he asked the wrong question. Now, Jesus always answers the question the person should have asked. So a lot of times you're like, what? When he answers somebody's question, but you realize they just asked the wrong question, but he's just looking past that and answering as if they asked the correct one. So when Judas, not Iscariot, said, why are some people going to see and some are not? Jesus puts the focus back on Judas, on us, by going, no, now you're thinking the wrong stuff. This is about you and me. And he says it again, the exact same thing, but in a slightly different way. Because it says Jesus answered him. That's why I know he was answering his question. He wasn't moving on to the next thing. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. Now he's saying, I'm going to say it another way. We will come to him and make our home with him. That's awesome. Okay, let's do one more. And then I'm really quitting. Jesus walked in a way that he wants us to walk. He didn't ask us to do anything he's not willing to do. But I think you can take it a step farther and say he never asked anyone to do anything he didn't actually do himself. That's the God we serve. I'm going to come in and show you. I'm not up here going like a puppet master and just asking you to serve me because it makes me feel good. I'm doing these things. This is who I am. I really want you to see. I want you to be this certain way, not because it makes me happy, because I'm the king and this is the kind of subjects I want. I want you to do this because I'm your father, and fathers teach their children to be just like them. Amen. So he says, let's go to John 15:10. Jesus kept the commandments of the Father. He didn't ask us to do anything he wasn't already doing. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If the Son of God needed to do that, to live correctly as a human being, how much more do we need to focus on that? He was focusing daily, 24/7. I want to do what my Father's telling me to do. I want to never go against him. That's what the prayer in Gethsemane was all about. He was tempted harder than any other time. That's when he began to shed his blood. Nobody takes my life from me. And the Lord showed me one day, he didn't just sweat a little bit of red stuff. He started bleeding. Before they beat him, he began shedding his blood by sheer willpower. But listen, the temptation was so strong. He let out a prayer. The Son of God knew he had gained such authority with the Father. We gain authority through obedience. Amen. That he was no longer a bondservant, no longer a friend, but a son. Father, if there's any way. He couldn't let that prayer hang out there. Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass. He knew, because now there's a prayer request that doesn't line up with the Father's will if he leaves it. So instead, he just makes it a confession of humanity. I don't want this, but I receive it and accept it because it's what you want. So he goes back and says, no. It's not a prayer. It's just a confession, not a confession of sin, but just an agreement with what was in his heart. No, I want to go. Don't take this cup from me. That's what he was saying. And so Sometimes we just need to take what's coming to us. You know, Jesus never complained about, imagine him 2.5 years into his ministry saying, "This sucks." 2020 sucks. You guys are never going to get it. If you don't know me by now, you will never, never know me. Am I keeping tune? Ooh. Can you sing it with me? If you don't know me by now, you will never, never, never know me. Imagine him singing that from the cross. No way. Instead, he says, I know who you are. I know everything about you. I chose you then, and I choose you now. And he says that in your worst, worst, worst moment of your life. That's what he's saying. I choose you again now. It wasn't a choice I made in the beginning, and now I'm stuck with it. That's what I always thought. I said the prayer. He stuck with me. Did I say it right? Because if I did, he can't go back on it. No. He's like, you don't realize. In your worst moment, everyone in hell is still there as an object of God's grace, because 1 John tells us he died not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So they're taken care of. People in hell are there because they want to be. I don't understand how that's going to work. But I don't think anybody's going to find out, like, you didn't say the prayer right. You're going there. No, I thought, you know, I don't think there'll be any. I don't think there, because he's merciful, but he's good. Okay. I'll end with this. I said I'd end with the other one, but I'm going to give my wife my notes. Romans 8:29 says that his desire is to conform us into the image of his son. Imagine that. It tells us why. Romans 8:29 explains Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 says he works together for the good, everything for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. What's he working together for good for? So you'll be happy? No, because I didn't find gold in my backyard. It's got to be something else. It's the very next verse. Because of those who he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed into the image of his son. That's what he wants. He's working everything together for good to conform me into the image of his son, because he wants me to be just like Jesus. Man, if I could even be a little bit like Jesus. Woo. Anyway, because he wants to be the firstborn among many brothers. That's how much he wants us to be like him. That someone, and that word brother is the Greek for brothers and sisters, by the way, ladies. We have a patriarchal society here, but that's not the way heaven is. So, Lord, I don't know where you want to go here, but I just feel your presence. I feel your pleasure. And I just ask you to move in our hearts more. Lord, I feel a little bit like the disciples on the road to Emmaus. My heart is burning within me. And I know there's more happening than what I can see. Lord, if you would just break our bread so that we could see you more clearly than we do now. When he broke the bread, those guys' eyes were open and they knew it was the Lord. So, Lord, we just wait. We love you. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of his temple. King David wrote that. You would think the one thing he would want was, Lord, let me govern the people. Like Solomon said, let me govern with wisdom. And Solomon asked for a good thing, but David asked for a better thing. One thing I have desired of the Lord. One thing will I seek after. Revelation says that there's no need for a temple because the Lord is the temple. That's what we're headed for. Lord, I don't know how it is that you dwell inside of us and we're so unaware of your presence. But in times like this, when we start feeling you, we just want to cling to you and say, come more. And I ask you for everyone in this room that you would reveal yourself in ways we've never seen you before. That we would find that you are the temple we've longed for. I just want to invite you to get in whatever position is best for you to receive. Some people would just stay where they are. Some people need to stand or lift their hands. Some people need to sit down on the floor, lay down. We're in this together, but this is us individually just plugging into the Lord and clinging to Him. There's no one beside you. There's no one like you. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Jesus, you are our King. Make us a royal priesthood. Mm-hmm.